The Digivolution!
Is that band running?
Did you see?
Did you hear?
Did you know it was coming?
Our Digidestiny
starts today.
Let me hear you say...
Digimon!
Woo! Even I felt nerdy after that.
Welcome to Podmon Adventure, the podcast where I'm not a sicko, I'm a collector, and these new items have such sentimental value to me.
Yep.
Yeah, correct.
We're in a post-Podmon world.
Yep.
Piedmon is done. His final joke has been told, and he has been shepherd's crooked off of the goddamn stage by Magna Angemon,
who, of course,
cannot, live out his truth of being a good Christian, because woke capitalism won't let him speak the truth, so he has to change his name.
Piedmon has been appropriately Danny Masterson'd.
Yeah. He can't even say Christmas anymore.
That'll still be topical in a couple weeks when this comes out, I'm sure. we are coming into the two-part finale. And we've got a new fiend on the horizon that we will have to deal with in the next two episodes.
As yet unnamed real danger.
Yes.
Well, so, yeah, the title of the episode, right?
Yeah. But we'll hold off on that so you can meet him properly, since you don't remember the title of the episode. So what are you hoping for real Dangermon? And since the whole thing with Piedmon was everybody has to come together to beat him, how are you hoping that they and they are all together and everything. What are you hoping for the villain and for how the whole thing shapes up?
What if it's like the prophecy has to come true regardless of what side is dominant thing? You know what I mean? Like angels and demons, they're all part of the same essential structure, right?
Right.
In like, you know, the Christian cosmology.
Yeah.
Sort of all the fan fiction shit. Like the all the circles of hell essentially have the same goal,
as
punishing the wicked is to the same end as rewarding the righteous. So perhaps this is sort of like a horseshoe theory moment of Digimon, wherein this prophecy coming true will inherently benefit no one, but will still be cataclysmic and hit like the reset button on the whole Digiverse thing, and maybe send the kids back to the real world so that they can have their kids coming out of the cupboard in Narnia moment, you know, where they've lived in the fucking... in Narnia for like decades and have like families and children and have killed people and stuff, and they come back and then they're just like, you know, teenagers again.
It's been a long time since I've watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but like they come back as kids, right? Like so they go to Narnia, they live for, you know, their entire
when they
lives.
Come back, they're the age that they were when they went in. Time doesn't pass in the real world whenever you're in Narnia.
Yeah.
So
what if it's
horrifying,
like,
honestly. The implications are fucking terrifying.
Yeah. What if it's like just an endless cycle? Fucking Big Dangermon fucking like does some shit and sends them back to 1995 or whatever, like when they first saw Greymon and Parrotmon fight.
Yeah.
And they just continue that loop.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's just, there's this recursive, like in the real world, it's just an extension of a digital world in this like loop of, like it just like bifurcated into these two different things.
It's like the end of the wall. Like, you know how, like, it's like, is this where, and the album starts with We Came In, like, it just, like, it has an endless loop. What if, like,
the kids
very
are rebuilding the wall as
the very end of next episode is, like, clearly right before the beginning of episode one.
Yeah.
So it's just, like...
The ashes of the whole digital world are the snow that falls.
Yeah. And they just continue in this endless loop for forever. And you as the audience continue in this endless loop.
Yeah.
For forever. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That is a clever way to get your well, they didn't make it to 65. They haven't quite made it to syndication yet, but
damn.
That is a clever way to get your audience retention anyway.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, you made it to the end? Well, just
and
the next thing that happens is the beginning all over again. So just keep watching it. Oh, you made it to the end again? Well, guess what? You're back at the beginning forever.
And can you believe that I was banned from Saban just for tattooing this idea on my body and jumping through the window?
What did that tattoo look like?
Have you seen Seven?
I don't think so.
I think basically his journals and his apartment, Kevin Spacey's real apartment, which they used for that movie. Yeah.
I don't want to know about Kevin Spacey's real apartment.
It's pretty much what you think. Just scrawlings all over the walls of like blood and shit and talking about God and whatnot.
Speaking of, something you mentioned earlier made me think, and I've had this thought before, but like Christianity, especially Catholicism, goes so out of its way.
I thought you were going to say goes hard in the paint. Goes so hard.
Goes hard in the grease paint. but no, like, it goes, like, through so many hoops to not be polytheism.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, you got the three gods, but they're all one god.
Right. And then you've got, like, the whole hierarchy of angels and demons and saints.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the whole thing is it's the same
which
thing.
Which in Hinduism you would just think of as like the polytheism.
Exactly. It's like it's the same thing just with different words. It's a matter of semantics at that point.
Yeah,
guys.
For sure. I think the monotheism of the Bible is like practical monotheism. It's not.
Yeah,
it's like the other gods exist. It's just this is the true God. Like the God of Abraham, like fights the Pharaoh's God and wins.
It is an interesting, like, if you look at it chronologically of like when stories came from, when things were written down and such. It is an interesting trajectory of like. What you're talking about, henotheism, where like other gods exist, but this is our tribe's god, so this is the one that we like to more like monolateralism, which is more like, yeah, I guess your god exists, but they're kind of a punk bitch.
They suck.
They kind of suck.
Yeah.
To like New Testament, it and Christianity is always like strict.
Yeah.
Monotheism, like
no gods before me, is also pretty.
It implies the existence of other gods, yeah. But like you get to Christianity, in the first century, and it is strict monotheism. Like no, there's only God, and then
the
like
presence of like expanding empire and. The need to create an other of the religions of the dominated classes. Yeah.
And then you get to like late first, second century up to like Nicaea. And it's like, okay, well, God is God, but I guess Jesus is God, but how is Jesus God? And it's just like,
and you got this Holy Ghost thing fucking everything up
like
for everybody.
We tried to have the one God thing, but I guess the one God is three gods now.
But he's all one God.
But he's all one God.
Which is weird because those are like the exact terms of like the Hindu concept of
like Brahma.
Polytheism.
Yeah.
Like it's all just fractions of the same divine being.
Right. But we will find out how all of that is relevant as we watch episode 53 of Digimon Adventure.
Yeah. Magna Angemon. Praise be his name.
See y'all in church. Be right back. All right, welcome back.
Oh, boy. I take back everything I said about Apocalypse. He's my favorite villain now.
Yeah. I love him. this is one thing that, and this is a contentious point, but he is, like, his whole thing is in the sub, but, like, his personality and, like, his jokes and everything are a dubism, and I think it is a vast improvement. Like, I do think that, like, and we'll get into it as we go through the episode, but I do think that, like, his backstory, if you will, is, like, is compelling and, like, and interesting, but I don't think that that alone in this kind of show is enough to carry a character. Like, it would be a little too edgy and try hard if it wasn't, like, deflated a little bit with the contrast between his, like, the existential nature of what he is with, like, his personality and everything. But
the dub has been avoiding the concept of death in general. Just being like the Digimon, like, move to a certain place if they're but it turns out it's kind of retcons all that, even in the dub, by saying that, like, all of the failed Digimon, the naturally selected or the failure to be selected Digimon, end up in this, like, recycling bin. That's basically what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just have to empty the recycling bin. Right. Which is often what you need to do whenever your computer is acting up.
Yeah. We'll get to him pretty quickly. But let's take it from the top. So Spiral Mountain is disintegrating, and everyone falls into a void where Izzy still has Wi-Fi and gets a Zoom call from Jenai.
Of course.
So Jenai tells them about the original Digidestined children who had defeated the great evil in the past. Pretty much just set up some lore, some world building.
Some stuff that would have been really nice to know about 30 episodes ago when we first met Jenai.
Right. But I clockwork. Jenai bails. Jenai pulls a classic...
You're breaking up.
Yeah. And hangs up on them. And so, with Jenai gone and having been no real help to them, a voice starts to come from every direction, lamenting his sadness.
It's a voice that sounds a lot like Myota's mind or somebody. It sounds like a lot like the narrator, actually.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting twist. It is the ultimate evil, complete with hot and cold running water. It is it is Apocalypse-mon. He is the manifestation of every Digimon that failed to Digivolve.
Which, yeah, okay. Yeah, so is he supposed to be... Why would they be despondent about that? Because, like, I get what they're saying. He's like the antithesis of all the good things in the digital world,
right?
But it's weird that though that's like a binary. I guess in this world there is like a like
yeah it's
a rigidly structured cosmology.
It's a computer world. Everything is binary.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, when they're floating out in space, it's just ones and zeros. Yeah, there's like a that extends out to the cosmology of the world as well, where like there's angels and devils, and they represent like the polar opposites of this. We were kind of onto something with our weird prediction, there's something about this that isn't very parsimonious, but I'm having a tough time like latching on to what the exact thing is. I think it's just the fact that like. You devolve, like the Digimon devolve, and then they...
Well, our Digimon do, because they're not actually Digivolving properly.
It's the influence of the Digidestined explicitly?
Right. That's what makes our... That's what allows them to temporarily Digivolve, but like for other Digimon in the world...
But they get reset back to... Are they not? So naturally, they would be in their child forms.
When they digivolve, they take on new data. Like the file size gets bigger. So I think it's like the failure to accumulate data that all pulls together and like becomes.
It's like when you need to defragment your disk.
Basically, yeah. Like all of that manifests in some way in this world, and that
corrupted RAM.
Yeah, that all of that extra fucking like failed downloads.
Yeah.
Like the you know, however many like megabytes or gigabytes of a download that fails, like you still got to clean the cache and stuff of all of that up. And so that is Apocalypse.
So
he's a manifestation of failure.
So where are So the digital world, is the digital world downstream of the material world? Is that how it works? Like the material world created the digital world throughout like
process?
Okay.
Yeah.
So that makes a little more sense, because otherwise it's like the material, there's no lost material in like the actual world, you know? Like matter's neither created nor destroyed. Everything that happens, like, on the Earth is, you know, inevitably, like, ground up into some process of redistributing the matter and energy that constituted its previous form.
Right.
So, like, that just isn't possible in the digital world, because it's more of, like, how things are sorted as opposed to things being generated and then destroyed.
Right.
Everything just sort of gets moved and filed into a different place.
Right.
Okay.
So after chewing the scene for a few minutes, he attacks them with the attacks of their past foes. I think it's Metal Siegemon, Myotismon, and Machine Dremon that he attacks them with.
Yeah.
And you know, but they're a little worried at first, and then they're like, you know what, we've beat them before, we can beat them again. Of course, no one considers that. You beat them all one at a time. They've
By
never
ganging
all,
up on them almost
right.
exclusively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've never all fought you at once. So and fucking how big is Metal Garurumon? Because like
friggin' scale involved here. I have no fucking idea.
Yeah. Because like he seems smaller than Garurumon, and Matt is like rode on Garurumon's back like a horse, but he's just sitting on Metal Garurumon's face, just like it's just like what is the scale here? What's supposed to, okay? Anyway, Apocalypse grabs the Digimon and reverts them back to their rookie forms, except for Gatchomon. But no worries.
For visual symmetry's sake.
Yeah. And we've seen Salamon. She's pretty much the same size. He could have done that. But whatever. Anyway, doesn't matter. Because they're just going to digivolve again. No big deal. Like, that was a dumb move on Apocalypse's part. They can just digivolve. He uses Devimon's Death Claw and destroys their tags and crest.
Which, kind of sucks that Devimon was the one that could do that. And he was the one that fought them before they ever had their crests.
Right.
It seems unfair to him. But, so.
So as the kids are trying to figure out a solution, Apocalypse turns them into binary code and makes them disappear.
Well, he turns them into polygons, and then they end up, I guess, in the binary sort of the white realm. The phantom zone of the digital world.
Yeah, there are other seasons, like other continuities that go deeper into like the structure of the digital world and how it relates to the real world and the internet and all of that. Adventure doesn't really do that. It leans more into the fantasy side of things, just with the aesthetic of it, but I am curious about what the nature of this this place is. Is this digital, like, purgatory? Like, is this where, like, when Digimon die, is this where they go when they're waiting to be, like, rebooted or something? Or, like,
I think it's the, it's like the console, you know, how you can bring up your console on your, console commands. That's where they are. Bunch of ones and zeros. Actually, is there, binary isn't really used often in coding anymore, right? Because it's so ineffective.
I don't know. I mean, this is 1999, so.
I think even then it was outdated. I think binary wasn't really used as like a coding language, like in the 70s and 80s. Like it stopped pretty soon after it was first used or first had relevance to computing. But it's like thought of as like the nascent form of digital code for some reason.
Okay, so with that in mind, maybe it is like the base level of the digital world is just like,
maybe it's like the singularity at the base, like the center of the universe,
right.
Sort of. Yeah.
Like, because they seem to be in a black hole.
Yeah.
In this whole thing. So the Digimon are trying to remain positive, but the kids are struggling to keep the faith. But the kids remember the first time their crests activated, one by one they find their resolve. And with everyone back in spirits, their crests activate inside their hearts through the faith that they have for each other.
Yep.
Aww.
Turns out they never needed the crests in the first place. Well, maybe they did, but they don't anymore.
I think it's more of a totem. It's like they've been through the journey now, but they needed the crest to project their traits onto. It's like it's like prayer beads kind of thing. They just needed the ritual of it, but they never actually needed them.
Hmm.
Anyway, stock sequence padding.
Yeah, holy shit. Everybody digivolves all the way, and it shows every form of it. We thankfully had some like mercy in the form of the warp.
For the megas. Yeah, thank God they figured that bit out.
Yeah, because holy shit, that must have been like an eighth of the runtime of this episode.
I don't think so.
Do you think?
No, I don't. I don't think it's that.
It was like 2 minutes, I would say.
Okay, so
like a tenth.
A tenth, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh man, I remember those being like the coolest thing when I was a kid. Just I always wanted to see the Digivolutions. And then, as an adult watching this, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, guys! You really milked all of this. You fucking could have.
This is definitely one of the areas where this season has aged for sure. Like, there are some in the future that are a lot more dynamic. Like the Ultimates are. Especially, and it's kind of sad because we never see them anymore because of the warps, but especially the CGI ones with War Greymon and Metal Garurumon, or Metal Greymon and Wear Garurumon. But all of the, like, the ultimate Digivolutions are more, like, more dynamic. They're not just, like, spin, poof, like, they're the new thing. Like, they actually, like
an animation.
There's animation and stuff to them, yeah.
Yeah. Garurumon's is really cool.
But the champion ones are just kind of nothing at all. But they are back, they are rejuvenated, and they are ready for the final fight. And that is where we... And thank God that, like, fucking finding their faith in themselves and each other and all of getting their heart crests back and everything was enough to... give them physical form again.
Yeah, fuck.
Otherwise, they'd just be like,
oh, well, we learned our lesson, but
we're kind of stuck here.
Yeah, fuck.
So yeah, that's the end of it.
How long until they cannibalize each other, right? in the binary world?
So of course we will most likely deal with Apocalypse on our ranking next week, but I'm sure that he is full of great words of wisdom. So give us some of them.
Yeah, pretty much everything he said was great. I'm actually going to start with the Jedi quote though, which was my new wristwatch stopped working whenever he's talking about the effects of the firewall. Which, why does he need one, and how would it possibly have affected him, or why did he bring it up? Who can fucking say? He also claims that he's out of quarters whenever his video chat with Izzy is ending, which is just insane. And he promises that next time he's going to switch to a phone card, which I haven't heard a phone card referenced.
Right.
It's probably since I was in elementary school. And even then, I did not give a shit what they were. So fucking Apocalypse is he's the ultimate evil, as we said, complete with hot and cold running water. Is that a reference to like his weird pumping?
I think so. Yeah.
They tried to make it less anatomical so that it would be okay for that. That's really funny. He's like the alternate end of natural selection. At one point they like just say what he said back to him, and he says, "Sure, rub it in," which is just so petty. At one point his like lament crescendos into this thesis where he shouts to the heavens, "Why do you get the pizza while I get the crust?" Holy shit, it's been 50 episodes like building up to this moment, and this is what you give us. Oh my god.
Then when he's fucking, not to step on your bit, but then when he's fucking waxing poetic about it makes sense in a weird way for him. Like, we talked a lot about like fucking just like this whole thing of like, I'm going to just destroy the world and also rule the world, and like why, what's your motivation? I mean, it kind of makes sense in his like estimation of everything, but he's just like waxing poetic about like, I'll plunge the world into darkness so I won't be alone in my misery, and just starts evil laughing, and then just, wait a minute, what am I laughing at? I'm supposed to be depressed. He's great. Love it.
Yeah. Whenever he destroys the crest, he also says, always save your receipts. The warranty is probably good on those things, which he's just working on his Type 5. There's no other reason for him to be saying that. There's no other perspective. It's just him cracking a joke while he's supposed to be the embodiment of like sadness and torture.
Right. It's amazing that we just had a clown, and we had a clown.
Never told jokes.
We had a clown for what, like 14 episodes? Like in the background, they could have gone to him at any time. They did a few times, and is just like,
he's always just menacing.
It's just like creepy uncle dad jokes.
Yeah,
the entire time, just like and then like in one episode, just Apocalypse just shits all over his routine and is like quickly shooting up to I won't make assumptions about where he lands, but I have good feelings about his how he's going to do next week on the list. But like I said, we're not doing that list today because he still has to die. But what we are doing is ranking this episode. So how do we feel about ignoring the 2 minutes of stock digivolution?
Even that can't bring it down. I think this is an ultimate. This episode made me laugh more than most of them intentionally, which I think is maybe one of a couple times that's actually happened in this series. Normally we're laughing at is just like just the absurdity or the unintended context of certain quotes.
Right.
But this is actually kind of funny. Like he's got bits. He's got some japes.
And he wins. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago with like, I like it when it's like when they're actually on the back rope.
Yeah.
You know, and like they are, and like as a team they all have, and it kind of reflects the journey that we've been on with these characters. I mean, obviously they highlight like their first Digivolution to Ultimate activating their crest and everything, but like you can see from that whole sequence that they have all grown through the journey, and that is what gets them through it and back in the back in the fight. Like,
yeah, it retroactively justifies all of the detours and the weird sort of cul-de-sac moments in the narrative to sort of give everybody the character information to make their final Digivolution into the people that they became.
It makes that, it makes this moment believable that they've all grown up, including Ty, who's a much better fighter now.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. That was his one thing that he learned? Fucking goddamn it, Ty. Maybe the real Digivolution was the friends we made along the way.
From the friends assholes we screamed into along the way, who we also punched in the face multiple times.
Yeah, Jesus. There's a lot of violence between these children. Ty has, like, punched a good portion of all of the other children.
I mean,
Matt and Izzy. I think he's hit Joe.
What?
I think he's hit Joe.
Has he hit Joe? Matt's given Joe some grief. I don't know if he's ever hit him, but I don't know if Ty's ever hit.
I don't know. Yeah, actually, no. I don't think they've come to blows. There's just been some shouting matches.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're starting off this two-parter strong, and we will see if we end as strongly next week as we face the fate of two worlds. We'll see you then. Goodbye.